Fly ball to the corner. It goes into deep right field. Ohtani, he did it!
Swinging a high fly ball to right. It is out of here! Yastrzemski does it again, and the Giants lead 4-0.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
With all the craziness of March Madness, we can't forget that Major League Baseball is 6 days away. I'm pumped for it. Can't wait. Today we got the full list of opening day pitching matchups, and we'll talk about some of these because it features 8 Cy Young Award winners. I mean, that's phenomenal when you think about it. I think there's a lot of wild cards in here, one being Hunter Green going into his sophomore campaign with the Cincinnati Reds. He may be one of the most intriguing players to me going into the 2023 season. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the rules changes. We'll talk about how injuries have already affected 2 teams in the National League. Feels like the American League has been able to avoid the injury bug. The National League, not so much. Joining us right now over the phone, a great friend of mine. Always a pleasure to get him on the show here on the Afternoon Drive. We have Steve Bortstein. And Steve, it's just about that time. We're 6 days away from opening day.
Ironically enough, you know, in looking at these starting day, these opening day pitching matchups, the one I'm actually the most intrigued about has nothing to do with the LA Dodgers, which, you know, as being both you and I avid fans of the LA Dodgers, you would think that the Julio Urias opening day for the Dodgers against Zach Gallen of the Diamondbacks is an intriguing matchup. The one I'm actually looking forward to is the very first one of the day. Max Fried and Patrick Corbin, Atlanta at Washington. That is a fascinating pitching matchup on opening day for me. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, if you go back about 5 years ago, remember Patrick Corbin was a real player at one point in time. Remember, you were talking about elite pitchers. I mean, Patrick Corbin was right there. I mean, he's fallen off since. Max Fried, to me, is a guy that probably could slide into the Cy Young race. For me, like I said, it's got to be Hunter Green and Mitch Keller. I mean, Pittsburgh, for one, is always interesting because they are just such a train wreck in everything that they do. But on the flip side to that, you have Hunter Green, a guy who last year broke Major League Baseball's record by throwing 30 pitches that topped 101 miles per hour. And Hunter Green's a guy that we've been paying attention to since he was drafted like 4 years ago. It's a kid that's had to he's had Tommy John surgery already. We've been paying attention to Hunter Green. But there are several fascinating matchups. There really are. I mean, I think, you know what, Steve? Also, one of the first matchups we get, Garrett Cole, Logan Webb, Yankees-Giants. That's another fantastic matchup.
It is. And there's so many good matchups. And we'll get into more of some of the stuff that we're going to get into here in a moment. But the Shohei Ohtani and the distraction, I guess, if you will, of the World Baseball Classic, like, was it good? Was it bad for Major League Baseball? We can get into some of that a little bit. But, yeah, that's a great matchup as well. The Logan Webb, Garrett Cole matchup is a fascinating one. Keller versus Green, like you mentioned. Gallen versus Urias. There's some great ones. And if you can't get into opening day based on what a lot of people watched in the World Baseball Classic last week, I got nothing for you. I can't help you at this point. You're beyond help, and I'm not even going to bother trying.
No, it should be a national holiday. I've often thought that it's our America's pastime. It's our country's pastime. Opening day, we get to see pretty much every single team. We have pitching matchups that are just fantastic from 11 a.m. in the morning all the way to 8 at night. It should be a national holiday. Steve, as I mentioned before we brought you in, injuries have already affected 2 major players in the National League. We've talked a lot about Edwin Diaz, arguably the best closer in the game, goes down to the World Baseball Classic celebrating after striking out the side in the Dominican Republic Puerto Rico game. And then yesterday, I mean, this was kind of devastating. Rhys Hoskins, first baseman for the defending National League champion Phillies, goes down trying to field a ground ball. No contact, turns out. He tears his ACL. You and I had this talk before we hopped on. Which is going to impact those 2 major World Series contenders more? Is it Edwin Diaz or is it Rhys Hoskins? I'll let you go first.
I think Edwin Diaz. And I say Edwin Diaz because, if you remember, starting in, what was it, July and August last year, when the Mets started to make their big rally before they won the division, and everyone got all wicked into the Mets, and here was Edwin Diaz with that annoying trumpet intro that came in, and everyone started getting all fascinated about it. Hell, I got fascinated about it. As much as I didn't like the guy, as much as I didn't like the Mets, I wished we had a guy who had that, you know, Trevor Hoffman intro, you know, that Hell's Bells intro or the Edwin Diaz intro. Wish we had that guy. We haven't had that guy coming out of the bullpen. I can't remember the last guy that we had who, you know, had that dramatic intro that when he walked out there, it was like Rocky coming through the curtains, you know? So I think it's Diaz. And I think it's Diaz because aside from the guys we already know on that offense, the guys that we know are big name players that have the big names, you know, that have the big money, that have the big game home runs and everything. We know Edwin Diaz. We all got to know Edwin Diaz. We became fascinated with Edwin Diaz. And now, just like that, he's gone. And that's devastating, I think, for a team. When you're that convinced that you paid this guy $1 bazillion to be your guy who already was who's that close to being already that popular player. I mean, Major League Baseball's own, ESPN was running promos about the guy. So it's devastating, I think, to them. As devastating as Rhys Hoskins was. And it's funny, I went back and watched that play over and over again. And for the life of me, I can't see what it was other than just absolute dumb luck.
Yeah,
that injury happened to Rhys Hoskins, and you feel terrible for him. And I want to address that other part of this really quick. I don't want to hear about how the World Baseball Classic shouldn't be played because guys get injured, and therefore it doesn't help your major league team. Guys get injured all the time. The World Baseball Classic didn't cause Edwin Diaz to get hurt. He could have gotten hurt coming off the mound in a spring training game. It wouldn't have mattered. It's just dumb luck. Doesn't mean you cancel the World Baseball Classic. It does mean that I think if you're a Major League Baseball team, I think you should have some say as to who participates and who doesn't. And I think you knock on wood, thank goodness that Clayton Kershaw opted out of the World Baseball Classic because, God forbid, you didn't want to have that happen to him, but it could happen to him tonight in a spring training game against the Milwaukee Brewers. You just don't know. It didn't have anything to do with the World Baseball Classic, though.
I agree on that front. As far as the bigger injury, like how's this going to affect the Phillies and the Mets? I can go back and forth. I can make a case for both here. Okay, so when I look at the closer position in Major League Baseball, I think we have about six guys that are elite. And Edwin Diaz is at the very top of that category, okay? So you have Edwin Diaz, you have Emmanuel Clase, you have Josh Hader, Ryan Presley's one of them, Devin Williams, right? There's a group of like four or five guys that are elite. What we are seeing in the game of baseball is teams going to closer by committee, and it does work. I mean, it does. The Mets went out in the offseason. They grabbed Dave Robertson, who was pretty good for the Cubs last year, had a high leverage role with the Phillies after the trade deadline. Adam Ottavino was fine last year. He did great in high leverage roles for the Mets as Diaz's setup guy. So I think the Mets, obviously a significant drop off, but when I look at first base in Major League Baseball, and I'm not quite sure people truly grasp this concept, Steve, we have literally five elite first basemen in Major League Baseball right now. You have Freddie Freeman. Do you want to put Vlad Guerrero in that category? Fine, go ahead. Pete Alonso, Paul Goldschmidt, Matt Olson. I mean, that's it. The drop-off is so significant once you get past those top five. It's a very bleak position. So now we take a look at who the Mets can replace Diaz with. Let's look at who the Phillies can replace Rhys Hoskins with. Derek Hall. That's a huge drop-off.
That is.
And so I honestly think that this affects Philly. They're still my front runner in the NL. I think they have to be. I do believe that the offensive firepower is just going to be, it's going to be fine, especially with the addition of Trey Turner. But when you look at corner infield, and this will play into the fantasy baseball players, right? If you play fantasy baseball, look at this. Corner infield in Major League Baseball right now, it's pretty freaking bleak, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I think that has more to do with how, you know, I think that has a lot to do with how the recent rules changes have done things, you know, with the shift and everything. Maybe you don't need, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. And I think we're going to learn a lot about, you know, the importance of these positions as you get into the season, especially in those corner spots, because I think the shift has changed a lot of that.
I agree. No, that's a fair point, and I think it's a great segue into the next conversation, how 2023 is going to look drastically different than any other baseball season we have ever seen, right? This is something else that I think is being completely overlooked. Steve, you and I, 30 years from now, will probably be here arguing or bickering about Notre Dame and USC, arguing about how the Dodgers did this and Dave Roberts did it. 30 years from now, we're going to be having the same conversations. We're also going to be able to go back and look at the fact that 2023 was the start of a new era of Major League Baseball. I think you have the rule changes. We have the size of the bases. We have the pitch clock. We have the new schedule format. 2023 is going to be a season unlike any other in the history of the game. I mean, it's going to go down in the record books as a fairly significant season.
And I want to address this my next statement here to the parents of prospective ball boys and ball girls, bat boys and bat girls for Major League Baseball teams. You better have your kids ready to run. Just letting you know. You better have these kids ready. You better have them doing calisthenics right now. You better have these kids able to run, you know, a 10-4, 100-yard dash, because according to some of the tweaks that have gone on over the last couple of days, some of these rules changes, they are making some tweaks now, you know, as it relates to, you know, how long it takes for a catcher to put on his gear, and is that going to fit into the 2.5-minute window? And if a ball gets away from a catcher, if a pitcher has to back up home plate, how much time does he have to get back to the pitcher's mound before he has to throw his next pitch? They are making some tweaks. One of the tweaks they are making is a very deliberate statement in which the MLB's Rob Manfred, the commissioner, said this, wrote, quote, "New standards will be enforced for bat boys and bat girls whose ability to quickly retrieve equipment will help efforts to speed up the game. The league will evaluate the performances of bat boys and bat girls and could ask teams to replace them if their performance is considered substandard." So let me tell you this right now. If your fat kid doesn't muster up as a bat boy or a bat girl for the Detroit Tigers, that fat kid is gone, and that's going to bring up some woke individuals out there.
It's unbelievable to me that...
Yeah, that's my rant of the day.
Listen, it's on point, okay, because this is what is so mind-boggling to me, that Commissioner Rob Manfred is so concerned with appealing to today's generation of people who can't keep an attention, their attention span is not greater than my two-year-old's, right? They can't watch anything without picking up a cell phone or a tablet. Rob Manfred is so concerned about pandering to that group that he's willing to call out bat boys and bat girls. This is why this guy's the worst commissioner in professional sports right now. That's unbelievable to me. You're going to place the alleged boredom of the game of baseball. You're going to place some of that blame on the shoulders of bat boys and bat girls.
Some of the most exciting highlights I see are the bat girl or the bat boy who can't, you know, who tries to, you know, field a tricky foul ball off the right, you know, off the right field, you know, wall, whatever, and it gets away from them. And now that kid's got to run onto the field. He's got to get the ball. He's got to run back off the field. And you're telling me that because of that, that the entire integrity of the game is just shot to hell because some 15-year-old couldn't snag a hooking foul ball on the right field foul pole.
Yeah.
You're telling me that? I mean, that's what I'm reading. When I read that, and I think to myself, man, we're getting into that. We're really going to train these kids, you know. And this goes back to the World Baseball Classic thing for one second. If the length of the games bothered you during the World Baseball Classic, I'm sorry. I wanted four more plate appearances. I wanted four more at-bats between Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. I wanted four more of them. I don't care how long they took, because that was a fascinating way for that tournament to come to an end, with two teammates representing the same team in Major League Baseball, now representing different countries. That was fascinating to me. I don't care how long that took.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Again, Steve Bortstein joining us right now as we have a conversation on Major League Baseball. Steve, before I let you go, I do want to talk about one more change, and I think you could really break this down by division on how this is going to impact what the final standings look like. The new schedule format 2023 as well. 52 divisional games. Okay, so that's 24 less divisional games. You get to play your in-division opponents 13 times. You have 64 other intra-league games, which was previously 66, but then you have 46 interleague games, which was previously 20. Each team will play a four-game home-and-home series with their geographic interleague rivals. So we're talking Mets, Yankees, Dodgers, Angels. This is drastically different than what it has been. And I think, look, I could use the Dodgers as a reference here in the National League West. The day of beating up on the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, sometimes the Giants, sometimes the Padres, playing these teams 18 times in a year and essentially getting 14 to 15 wins, those days are gone. It's the same conversation to be had if we're talking about the Cardinals, knocking around the Reds and the Pirates and the Cubs. The days of the Braves coming in and knocking around the likes of the Nationals and the Marlins, those days are over. This is going to change things drastically, and I don't believe this has gotten enough attention in the offseason.
No, it hasn't. The days of, and fans of the Oakland Athletics, who won 60 games last year, fans of the Washington Nationals that won 55 games last year, well, guess what? You just got the governor's call. You got that phone call from the governor at 11:45 before you go to the execution chamber at midnight, because now you don't have to face the Braves 18 times.
Yep.
You don't have to face, if you're Oakland, you don't have to face the Astros, who won their division by 16 games. If you're the Colorado Rockies or Arizona Diamondbacks, you don't have to face the Dodgers, who won their division by 22 games.
Yep.
Over the team that ended up beating them in the playoffs, the San Diego Padres. I don't even want to remember that. So it's a huge difference now. And I think it's great, number one. I do. I want more parity. I want more competitiveness. And you can make the comparison that this is sort of like taking away tanking in the NBA, right? You know, we don't want teams to tank at the end of the season, so we're going to change the draft rules a little. This is how MLB does. This is the one rule change. This is the one tweak that I actually give Rob Manfred credit for, because I like this. I'm a Dodgers fan. You and I are both passionate Dodgers fans. But you know how those Dodgers-Rockies games are going to go. They're going to win one. We're going to win two. We're going to win three. Then they're going to go back to Colorado, and it's going to get snowed out. Then we're going to go back to L.A., and we're going to win three. And then we're going to go to Colorado. They're going to win one. We're going to win. It ends up being a disaster. They win 5 out of 18. So now take away 6 games. Suddenly now that's 3-9. It's not bad. And it's not great, but it certainly isn't. It isn't 18. It's not 16 losses. It's not 15 losses. So I think it's going to help. I think it's going to help the competitiveness of the leagues a little bit. It'll keep them more in balance. You're not going to have 22 game winners. You're not going to have, you know, the Braves and Mets 14 games ahead of Philadelphia, for crying out loud. You're not going to have that. I think it's a great rule change. And I think when you look at the Braves and the Mets, again, they finished 14 games ahead of Philadelphia. I think those numbers are going to change dramatically. The Cubs, the Pirates, the Reds, they're going to love it.
Steve Bordstein again joining us for a baseball conversation. Steve, next week we can actually start breaking down the season in preparation for opening day. I'm looking forward to getting you back on the show. I know things have settled down for you in the local sports scene a little bit, just as they have for me, but spring sports are here. It's packed, it's condensed, and of course you're putting out some tremendous work.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a labor of love getting the high school basketball season over with here in the Four Corners region. But we ended up having San Juan County was sending 16s to the state championship. It was a fascinating run all the way through. And you can follow more of my work on Twitter at DTS. That's Daily Times Steve Bordstein. DTS Bordstein on Twitter. Or check out our website at daily-times.com.
Looking forward to a conversation again next week, Steve. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, my friend. Good talking to you.
We're going to pause one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports right after this.